we were chatting about some of the experiences that you'd had. And I know in my area, there's almost like a discussion that people don't have about the conflict with some people's perception of what their faith tells them and how they interact with other people, namely members of the LGBTQ community. And when I was hearing about some of the experiences that you had, and I asked if you'd be kind enough to come and have this chat, I was so pleased. And I should say that you didn't even ask for me to anonymise the name, but just from my own viewpoint, I'd feel more confident by doing so. But like, I'm more than happy to fully confirm this is a genuine person with a genuine experience that I think we can actually learn something from. So I'm going to shut up. Will you tell us in your own words a bit about the experiences that you've had with engagements, interactions with people from faith communities?
Yes, I myself was drawn into a cult when I was 19. I was very vulnerable. I'm an autistic person, so I like structure, I like form, I like things that go together. And I went along and I got drawn in. And I hadn't discovered my sexuality yet. I wasn't sure of what I was. I knew that I liked guys, but I didn't feel that it was right. I thought that something was wrong within me.
Is that like the inner conflict? Because I know, like with me, I understand that inner conflict.
Yeah, it's something that's been part of my existence for quite a long time. And it was confirmed by the church people. They said to me that, yes, you are wrong for being gay, but as long as you don't practice, it's okay. Being gay is just the same as rape or murder. I couldn't quite believe that my sexuality was being compared to these two things.
Were they comparing it like one sin equals another sin sort of thing?
Yes.
From? Yeah.
It was just the examples that they gave, though, weren't sins. I don't know, picking up a pen from a shop or something like that. It was equating my sexuality to hurting somebody.
Yeah.
And I never wanted to hurt anybody.
Of course, you know something, you're one of the most gentlest, nicest people I've spoken to in a long time, to be honest with you. I feel as if when we're looking at, like, I look at where we were brought up from, I'm in my 50s, and I know the times that we were growing up, we went through the times of Section 28, we went through the times of all the horrible newspaper stories around gay people before the eye of hate seems to have turned towards trans. And I feel as if going through that time, we didn't really have any positive role models or like people who we've seen on TV who were actually given a positive sense. I know from the trans viewpoint, the only people I remember from growing up was the murderer in Psycho and the murderer out of Silence of the Lambs. So I think based into some people's mindsets, like trans people, gay people, I remember we were speaking earlier, I remember when I was growing up and there were some horrible words said around gay people as if they were from a different planet, as if they were another type of human. They weren't normal. And time has proved all that to be wrong. But I think the echoes of that still follow.
That was how I was made to feel throughout my time with this group. They actually gave me what they call deliverance ministry as well. They thought that I was demonically possessed by a spirit of homosexuality, and there was about 7 or 8 people that put their hands on my heads and prayed various things at me whilst I was pinned down. It often lasted for an hour, and they would shout things like the blood of Jesus and things like that, and it was shouted at me. And I was always made to feel that I was different, that I didn't belong. And that's had a lasting impact really on my life, because I'm in my late 40s, and I don't know how to communicate properly with other gay men because I haven't had that experience of in the normal ones of growing up that you have of getting to know people and what have you, because I've been forcibly closeted for so long. Now you may ask why didn't I have the strength to break out? And I don't know the answer to that. I think that I was so convinced that I was wrong and they were right. I was so convinced that I was going to go to hell that I wasn't sure of how to break free.
It's, I think, from what you described about what sounds to me like a form of conversion therapy, to be fair, is I imagine that would have been quite a traumatic time. And humans, there's a term, post-traumatic stress, which totally deals with trauma that we can't process. And it's no surprise to me that it's maybe left you feeling uncertain moving forward in life. It's no surprise to me whatsoever. This is something that's like, there's been challenges recently as well, hasn't there? Can we touch on some of the things that you've witnessed of late?
Oh, yes, certainly. In my local town centre, there's a group of people and they go about with signposts, condemning various things. They condemn the freedom of choice to have a baby, freedom of expression, atheism, other religions, and LGBT people as well. And one of the members of this group was a member of my old church, and he's taken to following me around, singing at me and shouting at me in the town centre. I went into Boots for a meal deal, and sadly all they had was a tuna sandwich, and nobody wants a lone tuna sandwich, do they? Yeah. You want something tasty, but they only had a tuna sandwich. So I left with in a bit of a huff. And the first thing I came about was this chap from the church, and he came right into my face and shouted at me to repent. And this guy has been told before, because he harassed me before in Cafe Nero. And at that time, I was sat having a coffee, and it was quite nice. I have a coffee, a cake. I sit there quite regularly before I work as a youth with Youth Justice, working with young people who have committed offences, help them get back into the right track. And I just sit there and have a coffee before all that starts and have a little calm, a moment of zen. All these people from the church started to come in, and I knew they were from the church because they had all these banners. And I thought, oh gosh, I hope they don't bother me. Because of my experiences in the past, I'm always scared when I see church people, that they frighten me, because I think that anybody that's normal Christians are okay, but I think if you have an extremist ideology and that your mission is to hate others, I don't think that's a nice place to be.
I feel all religions should come from a place of peace and love and care.
Exactly, yeah, I agree. And so they came in and to sit on the sofa next to me, and there was plenty of spaces in the place, and I asked him to leave me alone. I asked him six or seven times, but he didn't, and he invited his entire group to sit next to me. And one of the guys was so close that I could actually feel the heat from his skin onto my skin.
Yeah.
And I had an autistic meltdown, and I couldn't cope, and I became a complete mess in that shop. And after that, I wrote to the cafe and I told them about my experiences with this chap. And they said that they would talk to him and the group, and they did. And he just said that he hadn't done anything, but luckily I videoed it, so I provided proof to them. So they gave him one more chance, and now this has happened again in the coffee shop, as I've just told you about. I'm hoping they ban them completely now, but it was just so horrible.
I'm not even kidding you. People like that, you see like councils and stuff talking about the problem with antisocial children and stuff, and like people, youngsters getting ASBOs to keep them out of areas. We need to start having antisocial behaviour orders on these sort of people. We really do. I'm really passionate. I'm a person of faith, Lee, and as far as I'm concerned, anyone who uses their faith to diminish another human being in that sense isn't following their faith. Now, you know, you could follow any one of the many religions that are out there, but that doesn't give you the right to tell other people not. And when you look at the legal side of it, we have the right to practice our faith. And we also have the right to not have a faith as well. The right to not have that judgment from these people is written in law. Has it been reported to the police?
Yes, I reported it to them and the lady gave me a crime reference number. But people keep telling me they have a right to be there because they're exercising their freedom of religion.
I would personally be interested in seeing how that progresses, because to my mind, that should be upgraded to a hate incident or a hate crime. And if it isn't, I would love to try and do some advocacy in that area for you as well. Because you're out there, you're doing what you can. And if you're out on the streets and they're coming up to you, and you're sat having a coffee and a cake, and that's a place where you go for some peace, for a step out. You don't expect to go there for... And why? Why? Because you happen to be a gay man? It's. I feel it's absolutely ridiculous that in 2022, we're even talking about this. This shouldn't be a thing, should it? It really shouldn't.
It shouldn't. And I think that I'm a person of faith too, despite all the things that have happened to me. But I think that people like this, that they do the opposite for their cause. They make people of faith look bad. They make us look like that they're one of them. And I will tell you that, trigger warning now for anybody that might have experienced suicide and that sort of thing, that one of my friends, Carl, he was told that he was gay, being gay was an abomination, as in Leviticus, forgetting the bit about mixed fibres and everything that's also missed, and cheese and ham sandwiches that you can't have and everything else. And this profoundly, he couldn't reconcile himself to his religion and what these people said to him. So one day he went to the motorway, he went on the bridge and he threw himself off and he died. And he would have been 21 at the time.
Oh, sorry.
And that is why I'm so passionately against these people, because what they're doing is, it's not an innocent thing, shouting bits of the Bible at people, promoting hate. And yet he goes in the guise of love. And it only takes, it took me and my friend a little bit of time to look through their social media to find out what hateful, bigoted, homophobic, transphobic people they are.
When hate comes, it's not just against one person, is it? It's against one group and another group and another group. You know what we need? We need church. And I know some really positive LGBTQ affirmative pastors and priests. I know them people are out there. We need more church leaders to be speaking out against this hatred. We truly do. I'm so sorry to hear about your friend. It breaks my heart, because I remember the story. Like this piece will be going out on Sunday, which is Trans Day of Remembrance. And remember, I think it was 2014, the name Leela Alcorn. She was a trans girl. She was 14-year-old. And her parents tried to pray the trans out of her, tried to lock her away and stuff. And in between Christmas and New Year, she wrote a Tumblr post saying, if you're reading this, I must have done it. And she did the same thing as your friend. And like, after this interview goes out, I'd like to play the song The Village by Rabel, which is a very trans-positive song. But it says, one page of the Bible isn't worth a life. It's such an important message. It's such an important message that needs to be out there. I truly believe that. We need people to be strong, don't we?
Yeah, and it's important to show love and not hate.
Yes.
And I think that people like this, they carry their own personal darkness with them. But being autistic, I can't read body language, but I can sense people's... To me, it's like light and darkness, and I can sense when people carry lots of light and people that carry lots of darkness, it doesn't take very long for you to see it. And
I totally understand what you're saying there. I get it.
I've had people lying to me for so long with the church telling me that I'm no good and God wants to change me. Because a lot of these people believe that the Bible is a literal text, which it's never meant to be read as, and that the earth is 6,000 years old.
How do you see the future? How do you see the future from where you are now? Do you see a world where you're going to be able to be out there and be truly free to be yourself?
I would like to. I think more and more I'm becoming myself each and every day. I'm not very good at planning for future things. I only like to focus on the day that I have in front of me and try and make that day as good as I possibly can. I obviously have things in my calendar to do, but when I'm in the day, I just really focus on that particular day, on that moment that I'm in. Now I'm hyper-focused on talking to you, and that's all that's concerning my mind.
I totally get that. I say to people, like, so I say I wake up every morning, and yesterday didn't happen, tomorrow's not here, so enjoying right now. I feel blessed to have this conversation with you. I truly do. If you were to give a word of advice for somebody who's suffering what you've suffered over the years to help keep them strong or see a way out of this, what would you say to them? What would you tell a young...
You're worthy by your own. You have worth just by being you. There's nothing that you need to do, you need to say, you need to be to make you worthy. You're already worthy as you are, completely you. I would say that.
I think you're absolutely amazing. I truly do. I think you're absolutely amazing. And thank you for being so open. And maybe in a month or so, it could be worth maybe like having another chat. And once this has played out, to see if the police have actually upgraded it to a hate incident. And because it seems to me as if there's something structurally wrong that needs to be addressed, or at least have a light shone on.
It's not the first time I've had to report things to the police, and I can tell you that it's never been very good. Their response has been subpar.
I'm aware that people engage with the police to try and help and advise in many areas. I'm fully aware of that. But we need the authorities to actually let that influence filter onto the street. We can do as many training courses as you want, but if they're not mandatory, then you're going to be getting people in the room who are supportive, and the people who actually need to be in the room aren't going to sign up for it. I think we need a seat change, don't we?
Exactly.
It's been an absolute pleasure and an honour to speak with you. It really has. I just feel that it's such an important topic. And what I'd like to do, listeners, is I'd like to reach out if you've got any experience of discrimination, not just within faith groups, but just in life in general. And you'd like to talk about your experiences, because I believe the world of inclusion progresses one conversation at a time. So I invite listeners to reach out to me and take a bit of inspiration from this amazing person, and be brave enough to share your experiences with me. And hopefully we can start working towards that safer, more inclusive world where everyone is able to be free to be themselves. Because once you marginalise one group, you marginalise all groups. You truly do. Is there anything that you'd like to add before we say ta-ra?
Just to say to your listeners, thank you for giving me a space to be here. And I would say to your listeners as well that Ali is a wonderful lady, and you can feel at peace sharing your truth to her, and that she will be a receptive and glad audience.
Bless you. Thank you very much. So here is Rabel and the Village.